You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh my goodness. With news of the tornado watch in all of our listening area, and then there is a warning for DeKalb. Livingston has now been added to that until 4:45. Davies County, they've now extended that to 4:45. And that is, they can still hear us, according to some of you on the text line, but that is in the far, 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 far corners of where we reach.
Grundy County now.
Grundy's up there. But with all of these things, the storm chasers are now out. And I'm just going to tell you, is there a place for it? Yes. Do we have authorities sounding the alarm that too many looky-loos that don't know what they're doing are hitting the road to go look for these things when the atmosphere is ripe? Yes. I am looking at a video right now of four dudes in some sort of SUV. One of them is not wearing a shirt, and I don't know what that's about.
Don't want it to get wet.
His hat is on backwards.
Yeah, of course it is.
And they are advertising that the live storm chase starts right now.
Let's go.
My God.
I did see a report that Reed Timmer is in Northwest Missouri.
Yep.
So if there is ever a time to be concerned,
he's the one that might need to put his shirt on.
It is when the Dominator is
in town.
Present.
Good talk. All right. What's the breaking Chiefs news? I think I just saw it. Is it Adam Schefter that's reporting this?
Yeah, Adam Schefter. They've all got it. Officially on ESPN now from Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport. Easy for me to say. The Chiefs have added 2 years to the contract of one Patrick Mahomes. In their efforts to rework the contract, the Chiefs have solidified Mahomes as a team member until 2033 with a new value of $504.75 million.
Oh, I see that, making it the first NFL deal valued at over a half billion dollars.
Wow. The new money on the deal is worth $239 million, again, bringing that total to $504 million. He can make up to $522 million through incentives and escalators beginning in 2027 when the new money begins. The deals average $64 million per year.
Okay.
How's the knee?
Fine. Looks good.
This is now the third time that the Chiefs and Mahomes have reset the quarterback market, all three of those led by Brett Veach.
All right, let's talk about the most important thing that happened last night that I was only adjacent to. Very good friend of mine took her daughter to a sports store.
Okay.
Just like sports equipment, think.
Sports Academy, Dick's Sporting Goods.
In that wheelhouse.
Okay.
A little more niche than that, but she's there.
By niche, do you mean higher end?
And she and I, good friend of mine,
George's,
are playing in a tournament together tomorrow, alley. Just so you know.
Okay.
And she writes, OMG, I'm there with my daughter. We're just shopping for a couple things ahead of the tournament tomorrow. And I look up and in walks Travis Kelce.
No way.
Way.
No way.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to read exactly what she wrote. Ladies, I have a feeling this is our weekend. We went into this store tonight, and lo and behold, there he is. Travis Kelce comes sauntering right in, and I did lay eyes on him. It's a sign we are going to do well in this tournament. And I said, oh my gosh, did you tackle him? Was there any sign of Taylor? She writes, I wanted to tackle him, but I figured jail time before a tournament isn't good. I can confirm he's very,
it worked out for Scottie Scheffler that one time.
Very easy on the eyes. And he's way taller than you think he is. And Taylor, we are so excited that you're marrying that man. But I was curious, were you going to say anything? And she said, we didn't ask for a photo. He was there to pick up golf clubs, in and out. And she said, I just let him shop and we left.
Well, and you don't want him to be swarmed. I've told the story about the time that Tech N9ne came into Quick Trip. And I thought that I said it quietly to my coworker, but I did not. I scanned his items, gave him his change, and I said, have a nice day. And then I looked at my coworker and said, that was Tech N9ne. And immediately 30 people mobbed him in the parking lot.
Can we have a photo? Can we have a photo? Yeah. Did you also see, this is sweet, I don't think he went, but Taylor went to the Hollywood premiere opening of Toy Story 5. And even people like Taylor Swift want autographs from time to time. She took her copy of Toy Story, you guys. Keep in mind, she grew up with Toy Story as a child. She took the DVD copy and asked Tim Allen to sign it, which I think is one of the most lovely things I've ever heard in my life.
And Randy Newman, right?
And Randy Newman. Cannot wait to see that movie.
Yeah, she does a duet with Randy Newman. Yeah,
I'm looking for it right now.
Yeah, I kind of want to hear it. Is that the I Knew It Was You or I Knew You? Is it that one or is it different? Did she just do the one song, Sam, do we know, for the movie?
She just did the one song, but their duet was not her song. It was his song.
You got a friend in me. Oh. You got a friend in me.
Of course, it's a stupid AP video.
Does that open this weekend? Does that open this weekend? Toy Story 5? Or is it another week or two?
Soon.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot wait.
Taylor Swift and Randy Newman do a new song duet for the new movie.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, they do?
5.
Yes. Awesome. I cannot wait.
June 19th, by the way.
June 19th. Okay. Update to a story that we covered pretty extensively when it happened. Just going to pass this on, not necessarily looking to make it a topic. A former Johnson County priest, beloved priest, I would say.
Very beloved.
Accused of stealing from the church in a big way, allegedly charged $77,000 on cruises alone.
And by the way, he is accused of stealing more than $160,000 from the church. And some of the details in the story outlined an internal audit that happened in 2023. So assuming that that was a thorough internal audit in 2023, that would suggest that the alleged embezzlement of the $160,000+ happened over the span of 3 years, which would also suggest that Father Story allegedly went on $77,000 worth of cruises in 3 years.
In 3 years.
So like five cruises?
Let me just break down. Nice. But Dan, this is crazy. Is there no oversight when someone has a credit card? Because if I took a credit card and over several years put like $300,000 on it, you had better believe someone would be like, what the heck are you doing?
I don't think that's what they're alleging here. Okay, I think the allegation is that Father Story was skimming off the top, allegedly.
He has resigned, by the way.
He's used that money for the cruises.
Accused of stealing a whole lot of money. He's pleaded not guilty. Diocese and church officials reportedly met with police to discuss concerns about church finances back in March, saying an audit showed unauthorized transactions on a church credit card.
No, never mind.
Church officials
I take it back.
Said that Story did not keep consistent records of spending, but the audit showed the $160,000 in unauthorized spending, according to court documents. The audit broke down the spending, into several categories.
Oh, jeez.
Number one, he's accused of using the church credit card for more than $77,000 in cruise vacations. On one of those, the credit card statement indicated a large cash withdrawal of $23,000, coded as casino cash withdrawal. Another one withdrew $25,000 on a cruise vacation, also labeled casino cash. Anytime there's this level of embezzlement, I always swear to you it's gambling.
Cruises and casinos, baby.
Church officials state this was a gross misuse of church funds and that Father Story would have known the expenses were not covered. But here is the rest of the story. Along with the cruises, the credit card was reportedly used for more than $27,000 in travel expenses to places like London, Paris, Dublin, New York. He is accused of going to Nordstrom Rack and Joseph A. Bank and spent $6,000. In fact, all of the alleged unauthorized expenses were reportedly concealed by legitimate charges to the credit card, with a total of $312,000 charged to that credit card in 3.5-4 years.
Who was getting the bills? Was he getting the bills?
Dan, this is where I ask. How in God's name do you put $300,000 on a credit card And there's no one in some accounting department going, now, wait a minute. I don't, because some of these were medical expenses, and the church said, look, we don't cover medical. We don't cover this. We don't cover fancy trips to Joseph A. Bank.
You are the lead priest of one of the wealthiest churches in the archdiocese. That's how that happens, allegedly.
I'm not blaming the system.
Oh, is that the credit card bill?
That allowed this
to
happen.
I'll take care of that.
But I am saying, you guys, when we see large cases of embezzlement, usually by a female, I'm just being honest.
That's true.
It's usually because there's no oversight. There is no one else looking at the books when someone has a credit card.
And by the way, all this came to light because of whatever happened last fall that led to a criminal investigation that we have never gotten any details about. That's what led to his resignation.
Yeah, they said, let's do an audit. Do an audit.
Well, it's standard practice in the church. Whenever leadership changes, they do an audit, you know, all the way back to the previous audit, which was in 2023.
What I don't understand is with the $300,000 over a few years on this credit card, when my credit card bill starts to get to, like, let's say $1,000, I get really nervous. I'm like, I need to start paying that down. When you have a credit card bill that is tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars, there would also be money going out just to pay down that bill, would there not? Can you imagine the interest over time on $300,000?
Well, no, I think it was
in credit card charges.
I think it was getting paid.
Well, yeah, but Sam, no one went,
money.
My God, instead of like a $900 credit card payment, which would be probably for church use, yeah, that would be like what I would expect it to be. We're making balloon payments here of whatever it would be to pay that down.
I think it would be obvious at some churches.
Did no one think that was odd?
At Cure of ours, I don't think it would be obvious.
All right, 913-586-7798. We have a town in Kansas that has been told, along with all the other towns in Kansas, that the kids are not allowed to have cell phones all day long, not once, not one time. One school district is now joining in the chorus saying, how are we supposed to implement this? How are we going to pay for it? I don't think anyone knows. Talk about that straight ahead. Stick with us. All right, here we go. The Kansas cell phone ban is leaving another school district with all sorts of questions. You remember this, the ban, bell to bell. Means basically no phones, no smartwatches, no you name it, you can't have it in school, bell to bell. And the schools have pushed back a little on this, saying, look, we love the idea. How are we going to implement this? From marching band to broadcast classes, USD 232 in DeSoto says they still don't have any answers about how to implement the state's new bell to bell ban in some cases. USD 232 is gearing up to consider new policies and storage solutions this summer for the state's new bell-to-bell personal device plan. Assistant Superintendent Alvy Cater presented a timeline and potential options for implementing the new ban during the May 4th Board of Education meeting. They're trying to figure this out. He says the board is going to have to adopt policies and procedures that prohibit students from using and accessing any of their personal devices during the school day bell to bell. The law requires all devices be turned off, number one, securely stored away from the student's person, number two, and the word inaccessible is written in the law, inaccessible during the school day, okay? And that includes, you guys, cell phones, smartwatches, Bluetooth headphones, earbuds, tablets, or computers. Here's where the problems begin. If the school issues a device, that is okay. But it cannot be a personal device unless you have a doctor or a special education plan. In a very limited circumstance, they're going to allow it for a couple of kiddos, right?
The doctor would be for like a constant glucose monitor situation that you have to check on your phone.
District is also required to provide students with an alternate means to contact their parents, like a phone in the main office or classroom phones.
Like we did for 100 years.
I know. Listen to this. Districts will bear the cost of implementing the new law. This is an unfunded mandate, folks. Mm-hmm. Carter said this month that the dollars it will take to implement the new law go beyond what it will take just to store the phones during the day. For example, the school might consider purchasing smartphones for broadcast students. Similarly, students in marching band use their phones to display their music. The law is unclear when it comes to cell phone usage within the body of a curriculum, Cater says. If personal devices are prohibited, then finding solutions for marching bands could incur additional cost. And he says, we have not been able to answer the question, can you use a personal device if it is part of the curriculum? I have not seen any evidence that we can do that. Other Johnson County school districts with much larger student populations, like Olathe, have estimated the cost to implement the new law could reach as much as $1 million for one district.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. I'm not.
Sam, I do. Where the heck are they going to store these?
In a $10 shoe organizer that goes on the back of a door.
I fully understand. Because, Sam, theft. These have to be secured.
I fully understand the idea that somebody's coming in and saying, hey, you need to do a little bit more work. And I fully understand the idea that the immediate reaction to the individual being told to do a little bit more work is always going to be, but I don't want to.
Well, I think the schools want this. The teachers certainly want it.
Then why are they pushing back so aggressively? Because this is not a difficult thing to do.
No, Sam, it is. The word inaccessible and secure. You cannot throw this in some sort of spice rack on the back of a door. These phones are $1,500.
All you have to do is say, I better not see them. And if I see them, you're getting in-school suspension.
Nope. The law says inaccessible.
Well, I understand that, but the idea being that they need to be inaccessible because they're using them in class. If they never see them, if they don't know that it's on the student, they have no right to take it from the student.
But you're missing what he is saying about the law, and he underscored this in his message to the board. The word inaccessible, securely stored, inaccessible, is written into the law.
Right.
If lawmakers took that out, school districts would have some wiggle room.
If it stays in their backpack, it's one, secure. It's in their backpack. And two, if they don't reach into their backpack to grab it because there is going to be serious consequences if they do so, it is now inaccessible. I understand the desire to lean into the vagueness of the law as an excuse to say, I don't want to do it.
No, Sam, the schools want this. I don't doubt this. The teachers certainly want this.
Then why are the districts throwing a hissy fit
because
about it if they want it?
Because of the word inaccessible and your backpack is accessible. Inaccessible means the students cannot access it, and the backpack does not count. That is the way the law is written. Talk to your lawmaker if you have an issue with this. It is possible, he says, that lawmakers could come back next session and make adjustments to the law. And this is a great quote from Alvy Cater here. One of the things we want to be cautious about is we don't want to go spending a significant amount of money if lawmakers go back and then further clarify in the next session and refine the law. It is possible that lawmakers are going to do that because of the parameters the schools are saying and the cost the schools are saying this is putting on districts. 913-586-7798. Phones are already ringing. If you were just now joining us, there is still an active tornado warning in Grundy County until 4:45, Harrison County until 5 o'clock p.m. Let's see if DeKalb is still on there. I think DeKalb, Mercer, you are still on there until 5 o'clock. This is in the very far northeast corner of Missouri. And there's DeKalb until 5 p.m. All of those four counties under a tornado warning until 5. We're back with more straight ahead. Stick with us. I have heard this from more than one staff person at more than one school across town. I just got this text. I hate the Kansas legislature. Let the staffs handle this. Let the schools handle this. $1 million is not out of line to supply all of the lock boxes to all of the schools we're talking about in any given district.
But is there not a chance that we are overly restricting the way that we're doing this based on the vagueness of the law? The law is intentionally vague. They do this on purpose. It doesn't say needs to be secured by lock and key, does it?
It does say inaccessible, and a backpack is accessible. The problem with the law is the word inaccessible, Sam.
Well, then you put it, so you get one of those shoe racks, you put it on the inside of the school supplies closet door in the classroom, most of them have them, and then you lock that door. I just solved your problem for $14.
You just solved that problem for 20 kids. What do you do with the other 400 kids?
Well, you multiply that by 20. I feel like this is more of a, we're upset about the law, so we're going to complain about it, and less of a, let's find a real solution here.
I think,
but I could be wrong.
That you're wrong, because the teachers have been screaming they want this for such a long time. What should have happened is the district should have been allowed to decide.
I agree with.
I don't know that a bunch of lawmakers in Topeka know how to craft applicable,
yeah,
realistic education policy. It sounds great to be like, I'm tough on crime. We're going to get rid of all those cell phones in the schools. The schools are now saying, what the hell? You have dumped this turd on us,
right,
without any funding, without any direction, and with language that makes it almost impossible.
Require them to implement any kind of mandate.
Yes.
Don't have specifics behind
it. Just require them to implement the mandate. Leave it at that and let the schools figure it out. Let's go to Craig in Raytown. Hey, Craig.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
I was just wondering why it's the school's responsibility to store these things. If they're not allowed at school, then they shouldn't be brought to school. Just like anything else that's not allowed at school. They don't store your gun for you.
Right. That is actually a good point. Just say you got to leave them in your car. You can't bring them in. It would probably be cheaper to do that, I suppose. Let's go to Danielle in Parkville. Hey.
Hi, Dana. Hi, Sam. Yeah, I agree with Craig. But what I was going to say is my daughter's going to be a senior at a school district up north, and they implemented this. I don't think that they spent millions of dollars on boxes to store them in. They were told to put them in their backpacks. And my point, I guess, is that by halfway through the school year or something, they're right back on their phone. So they're going to spend all this money, and the kids are going to be back on the phone. And I think we've reached the point in society where we just overcomplicate everything.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there.
Leave them at home. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for the call. Truly, thank you for the call. I am so glad I don't have kids in high school anymore. You have no idea. And by the way, if you think the teachers want to be responsible for these devices, you've lost your mind. Talk to a teacher. No one wants to be responsible for tens of thousands of dollars in electronic equipment. Let's go to Rick in Kansas City. Hey, Rick.
Yeah, why don't you just buy a file cabinet, throw all the phones in there, and lock it? They don't cost that much.
Then which staff member is responsible for giving which kid the phone back if there's 400 kids in a school?
Well, put them in each classroom and let the teacher.
I suppose. Why don't you go home tonight, call up your favorite teacher? We all have friends who teach. I'm telling you, every single one of them is saying they want the phones out of the classroom, but the way they've been told to do this is an abject failure and an absolute nightmare.
So then wouldn't dozens and dozens and dozens of the brightest minds among us, the ones teaching our next generation,
yes,
put their minds together to come up with a logical solution rather than what they are doing,
yes,
which is just complaining about
it? No, because
it.
The law has already been passed, Sam. What should have happened is the lawmakers should have said, let's talk to people in education.
But the same ambiguity that they are highlighting in the law with their concerns is the same ambiguity that they can play with to come up with a legitimate and logical solution. That's why I'm saying it seems like more of a cop-out. Because, yes, the law is ambiguous. They do this for a reason.
I don't think the law is ambiguous. I think it's too specific with the word inaccessible. If you took out the word inaccessible, it would give the districts wiggle room to figure this out. To say, if you get caught and it's in your backpack and you pull it out and you get caught in the restroom using it, you know, you get a demerit. I don't know. I literally thank God every day I don't have kids in high school anymore.
One of the things that continues to baffle me about this, though, is my own experience with it, which was at Bishop Miege. And if they even so much as saw the outline of your phone in your pocket, you lost it for the rest of the day. Kids found ways around it, but
sure.
You know what you never saw in the classroom or in the hallway? A cell phone.
No one had the nerve to pull them out, right? Let's go to Teresa on 435. Hey, Teresa.
Hey, I agree with Sam. There's got to be a cheap way to do this. And I was telling him that, you know, I'm not production, but I'm creativity. And I'm sure there's other people that are smarter than me. But every classroom would have like a drop box, large one that's on the door of the classroom where the teacher has the lock to it. If there's a shooter or something like that, the teacher can open up. And every kid in that room would have access to their phone. If not, I envision it like a valet where you give them the key, they hang it on a slot, but in this, or on a key hook. In this case, they would be slots. And each kid would have a number for each classroom. So it'd be labeled 1 through 30.
Sure.
I'm number 2. I walk in, I slip my phone in number 2 slot. And then when I leave at the end, the teacher opens the door, everybody takes it, their slot. And if you forget it, teacher has, this came out of slot 2. I know who that is. The next group of kids that come in do the same thing. You have the initial slot boxy type concept in place, and it just keeps revolving. Every kid will have a number, and that's when they're in that classroom, I'm number 2. I don't know. I just think we've made it too difficult. And the teachers, my son's a teacher, and phones have been a nemesis for quite a while.
The only
thing that's changed is the age group of who's carrying it. He's middle school. Everybody in middle school has it, where 10 years ago, only maybe high school kids had it. So teachers have had quite a long time to say, hey, I don't like this. And we concur with them. However, nothing's changed. So, you know, we need to do something to get it to change.
I agree. I just wish the districts were able to figure it out on their own. The district should have been able to figure this out. And I will just, personal story, we had the spice rack in my daughter's class, the shoe rack that hangs on the back of the closet door. And the first day she had her cell phone, brand new cell phone, she worked all summer to pay for that cell phone. She had her cell phone put in that shoe rack because they were taking a test, and you cannot have your phone in the classroom when you're taking your test. And she was the last one to finish her test. She goes over to the shoe rack to find her brand new phone on day one of having her brand new phone, and someone has stolen her phone. And this is why the districts are struggling with what to do with these devices, because, and this is why the teachers don't want to be in charge of them. Another kid will take your kid's phone, and it's not even your kid's phone. In most cases, it's the phone that you, as the parent, have paid for. We tracked that phone down, Sam, we tracked it down. I will leave it at that.
Right.
It was felony theft. He went on a diversion program, admitted taking it, all of those things. The teachers do not want to be in the middle of that. It's a mess.
And I understand that, but we
why not just say leave them in your car and we hope that no one breaks into your car?
Never take them to school.
Leave
there
them,
is no reason
yeah.
to
well,
have them as a child.
I think I would want my kid to have them in the car.
Okay,
but
that's
then
fair.
Then the car gets overheated and then the phone gets like, I don't know that there's a good solution. We have allowed these devices into our lives. We did this, by the way.
There's a great point from the text line regarding the state law concern. As you've mentioned multiple times, this has been a problem for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a problem when I was in high school,
easily,
which was a decade ago. They've had time to implement their own policies. Out. They've had time to say, we're done with phones in schools. The school districts refused. And that's why there's a state law.
913-586-7798. Quick reminder, there is a radar-indicated tornado that they are talking about far to our north and east in Missouri. They have extended the tornado warning into 515 now for Grundy County, Harrison County until 5. DeKalb is still on there until 5. Mm-hmm. And what am I missing? Mercer County?
Mercer and then Davies are all still active.
Mercer, Davies, Grundy, Harrington, Livingston, and Gentry. Those are the tornado warning counties. Davies, Grundy, Harrison, Livingston, Mercer, and Gentry. Most until 5 o'clock, a couple of those until 5:15.
And the entire metropolitan area is under a tornado watch until 9 p.m.
Be weather aware, people.
That's
We're
right.
back after this.
Well, all right then.
Well, what happened to our happy music?
It says it's still playing. Not sure. I mean, I can sing it for you. No, I'm good.
Let's go to Rick really quick. Man, we have a full board. We're going to try to get as many in as we can. Rick, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. You're a middle school teacher?
My wife and I are both middle school teachers, and we're in the Missouri side, but the way the Kansas law is written with inaccessible, the smart thing to do is all districts ban cell phones from students and devices coming into the building.
Just ban it in the building.
On the parents. Ban it in the building. Put it on the parents. They leave them at home, leave them in the car, whatever. And if a student brings a cell phone in or a device, and in my district, we give them one freebie where they get it back at the end of the day and they take it home. If it becomes a problem, second time and thereafter, it has to be a parent pickup. If the parents come in constantly to get their student's cell phone or device, they're going to get tired of it.
That's true. And Rick, it's a great point. And then I saw what Billy was about to say. Billy, this is sort of brilliant, but sort of terrifying. Go ahead.
Yes, I was suggesting getting a broadband disruptor.
You just disrupt the entire Wi-Fi signal.
Yes, it cloaked the facility, but then in case of emergency, you could just turn it off and everything would work.
Billy, that's an interesting idea. Now, keep in mind, no computer then in the building would work. If you just shut down the internet, it would solve the cell phone problem, sort of.
I don't think that's the way to go.
Because doesn't someone else have a hotspot? If you have a hotspot.
I'm going to go with the previous one of...
leave them out of the building.
If we see your phone, you get in big trouble. It works. I promise you it works. I watched it.
Justin in Olathe, can you wrap us up in a few seconds here? Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I've got a daughter that's going to be a senior as well here in Olathe. And my question is, who's going to handle the liability if there's loss or damage to my daughter's very expensive, as you put it, phone while it's in their custody?
That's one of the reasons the districts are concerned about this. Theft. The word inaccessible, and what do you do with theft? I don't know. Again, I have so much respect for our teachers, for our administrators. I'm so glad I'm not one of them. I couldn't do it.
Can you just make them sign a waiver? You want to bring your phone to school and you sign a waiver.
I'm even happier that I don't have a kid in high school anymore. My God, I would not want to have to navigate that.
Oh, joy.
We are back with a bunch more straight ahead on Dana and Parks. If you're just joining us, please keep in mind there is an active tornado warning. That's the bad one. Davies County, help me out here, DeKalb,
Harrison.
Grundy, Harrison,
yep.
Till at least 5:15. The rest of us, we are all under a tornado watch. Be careful out there. We're back after this.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.